Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 204. Now today we're going to be blending the science of dreaming with the mysteries of synchronicity to get clarity and meaningfulness from a dream that I had earlier this year. So whereas we often have a guest on the show and we're interpreting the guest's dream, I'm kind of like in the spotlight today, although I've already done the work on the dream. But I picked it because I think you'll like the way that I had the dream, and then because I wasn't really spending the time to go and look at the dream, synchronicity started to happen. So it's a lovely, interesting story. And as you listen to it, you'll also learn tips on how to approach dreams that reverberate through synchronicities. So there's nothing like synchronicity to jolt you into new levels of awareness or to drive you deeper into an appreciation of life's mysteries. And when that synchronicity relates to a surreal dream, its power to awaken and enlighten is multiplied. So I really think you'll enjoy this story. Are all dreams meaningful? Are some dreams more meaningful than others? And are you dreaming enough to be healthy on all levels, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually? What can you do to ensure quality dreaming? And which dreams are the best ones to work with to uncover meaningful insight into your life? I'll be answering all those questions as well as going into the dream synchronicity thing. But just before we do, a reminder of the websites. If you haven't been to my websites for a long time, well, you know, they're always changing, growing, evolving. And particularly at the moment, they're on the Dream Academy. There are new videos explaining to you what your experiences at the Dream Academy will be like, telling you more about the courses and so on. So the two main websites are janeteresa.com, that's Teresa without an H, and also the Dream Academy. Now, the Dream Academy is the website you go to. It's my online learning platform where you can learn everything from the art and science of interpreting your own dreams all the way through to becoming a professional dream therapist. And the address for that site is dream-academy-online.com. But you can also get to there very easily from janeteresa.com or find me on social media. But meanwhile, on with today's show, which I have called Science, Mystery and Meaning. First up, are all dreams meaningful? And I've taken this from a blog that I wrote on janeteresa.com in February this year. That's February 2018, if you're listening to this many years later. How meaningful are dreams? And are some dreams more meaningful than others? If you're a very dedicated dreamer, you might be in the habit of interpreting every single dream you remember. But when you remember several dreams a night, this can feel overwhelming. If some dreams are more meaningful than others, wouldn't it be good to know which ones they are and to focus your attention on these? So let's start with the question of whether all dreams have meaning. At first glance, and to the uninitiated, dreams appear to be a meaningless mishmash of bits and pieces of recent experiences enmeshed in a surreal and irrational storyline. It's easy to conclude that such dreams are perhaps the result of the brain sorting through the bits and bobs of yesterday and yesteryear, trying and failing to create a context that makes sense of them. To some extent, this is exactly what's happening, but with two important differences. Firstly, the dreaming brain or dreaming mind focuses on sorting through not just the bits and bobs of your recent experiences, but all your experiences, conscious and unconscious, of the last 1 to 2 days. It's one big processing job, and the point of this is to refresh and update your mindset. During this processing, experiences from yesteryear may be called up if they resonate with those experiences of yesterday. Think of it as the dreaming brain comparing yesterday to yesteryear, deciding which old beliefs and experiences to reinforce, which to delete, and which to replace with something new. Secondly, the surreal dreams that accompany this processing, the experiences you have while your brain and mind are updating, are not the result of failure to find context. They are the context, writ large in irrational language. This is because certain areas of the prefrontal cortex that control rational thinking are fairly inactive during dreaming, and it is left to the more touchy-feely big picture areas of the brain to come up with, well, with the big picture. Our mindset is not rational. Our mindset is composed of myriad beliefs, emotions, feelings, memories, sometimes working together, sometimes working in conflict, sometimes connected to each other through associations that are deeply embedded in the past and make no rational sense to us awake, and yet powerfully drive our responses as we go about our daily lives. So what we get when we look into a dream is an opportunity to view our mindset on that particular night, to see what's associated with what, and how this whole amazing, deeper, largely unconscious part of the self is governing the way we experience life. Looked at this way, every part of a dream has meaning because it relates to the very structure of your mindset. It's just that you have to do a little work to translate the apparent chaos of a surreal dream into meaningful information about your mindset, information that you can use to change the way you engage with life. So how do you do this? You translate the apparent chaos through learning the art and science of interpreting your dreams, a set of tools and techniques you apply to see through the surreal to the workings of your mindset. You use the information you gain through interpretation to change the way you engage with life by one of two main processes. The first process is simple awareness. Awareness of your mindset can help you to make appropriate change. The second, far more powerful and long-lasting process, is to apply dream alchemy practices, exercises using the symbols and dramas of your dream to change your mindset, rewire your brain, reprogram your unconscious mind. So, are some dreams more meaningful than others? There are days when your life experiences are perhaps ho-hum or same-same, and on those nights your dreaming mind has less to process. Such dreams might report back, life is ho-ho, ho-hum, or same-same. Or they might occasionally scream out, look at the damage this same-same rut is causing, you are undermining yourself. Or, you're going round in circles, meeting dead ends, you're not resolving anything, you're stuck. There are days when your life experiences are excitingly different, challenging, fearful, terrifying, out of the box, or way out of comfort zone. Such days will fuel the night's dreams and give you wonderful insight into how your mindset responds, revealing your blocks to progress, or capturing amazing transformation of your mindset, new creative solutions to challenges, or highlighting unleashed gifts, talents, and wisdom that had, until now, lain dormant. Dreams that offer more insight than others are potentially more meaningful if you use that insight to make meaningful change in your life, in the world. I suggest the most potentially meaningful dreams to work with are, number one, any recurring dream or dream theme that has an unresolved or unsatisfactory ending. These are dreams that offer you the opportunity for breakthrough and major change. Number two, any vivid dream that you have at a time of change or challenge. These are dreams that offer you the opportunity to discover powerful positive growth during times that can otherwise be quite daunting. And number three, any dream that is highly emotionally charged. These are dreams that offer you the opportunity to address and heal emotional issues and free you to move forward. So choose your dream and get to it. And now to put some of that into action, blended with the excitement of the additional synchronicity. So this was my dream and my story that I actually blogged about on janetheresa.com in March 2018. Where synchronicity leads. In a dream the night before last, I pulled a very long hair from my nose. It was meters long, seemingly unending, and when I did finally pull it free, the pain woke me up. We'll get to the dream and what it meant, but I must begin with the story of driving home from yoga yesterday evening. During the class, I mentioned that an operation I had some 20 years ago to remove a piece of broken bone from my right knee prevented me from doing a hands-free pose called King Pigeon on that side, a pose I could do quite reasonably on my left. I've believed for quite a while that my knee limited me from doing this pose, but as I thought about it at that moment in class, it didn't make anatomical sense. Surely it was my right hip that needed to open a little more to give me that extra vital couple of centimetres I needed to get into the pose so that I could lift my arms and be hands-free. I was driving home thinking about this. The hip and the knee worked together, so it might be possible that the aftermath of the knee operation had tightened my hip. At that moment, in slow traffic, I noticed a car with a personalised number plate in the oncoming traffic. Hip, knee, H-I-P space K-N-E-E. What are the chances of that? It was a marvellous synchronicity and one that had me delving deeper into the connection between my knee and my hip, while overflowing with the mystical sense of meaningfulness that always accompanies synchronicity. Yes, we'll come to the dream about pulling the hair from my nose and what it meant, but first we must meander with the hip and knee synchronicity. I approach synchronicity as a reflection of a stirring within my unconscious, something beginning to rise into consciousness, to be known and acknowledged. In this way, synchronicity can also be seen as a waking dream, playing out more in the language of the unconscious than in the everyday language of waking reality. You might also say that synchronicity is a nudge from the divine, another way, perhaps, of describing awakening into fuller consciousness. My personal story about my knee does actually begin with my hip. I was about 9 or 10 years old, playing with friends on out-of-bounds territory, when I decided to walk along the top of a high wooden fence, hands-free. I fell badly and gashed my right hip against a rough-barked, gnarly tree. I was in all sorts of trouble for my father back at home. I walked with a bit of a limp because of the pain for about 3 months. My mother had her reasons for not taking me to see a doctor or have an x-ray, and after the 3 months the pain stopped and my gait returned to normal, or so I thought. Some 30-plus years later, I suddenly had sharp pains in my knee, and it turned out that a tiny piece of bone that had been broken, the hospital estimated, some 30-plus years before, had dislodged and was trapped under my kneecap, causing the now quite excruciating pain. The knee operation was to remove the piece of bone that had probably broken when I fell from the fence all those years before. The car with the hip knee number plate reminded me that my injury was to both hip and knee and connected to a time when I was in trouble for attempting a hands-free challenge beyond permitted territory. No wonder my body doesn't open to doing that particular hands-free yoga pose. It probably engages both my hip and my knee in a way that reminds my body-mind of that painful fall. The synchronicity resolved the anatomical puzzle and shed light on the underlying body-mind dynamics. I'm excited to see if this new awareness translates into being able to ease my way into that yoga pose now. What I knew about my knee and that pose turned out to be wrong, whichever way you look at it. When I now think about it rationally, I can't see any anatomical reason why my knee would be limiting the required flexibility and strength for that pose. My hip may be, but not my knee. So let's return to the dream I had about plucking meters of a seemingly endless hair from my nose. In the dream, I had climbed a neighbour's fence, a rather wobbly fence, but I didn't fall. "You know, there are some things I'll never be able to do," I said to her, and she looked surprised. The dream scene shifted to indoors, and I became aware of the hair tickling my nose and already dangling a meter or so. I pulled on it. It seemed endless, and eventually I plucked it free, and it really hurt. You'll have noticed the dream references to the fence, the neighbour, and the limitation, echoing the childhood event. I had left the dream to one side to interpret later, but it had begun to percolate at the back of my mind, and it would have been doing this during the yoga class. The pieces began to fall into place as I questioned my solid knowing about my knee limitation during the class, and then followed the synchronicity during the drive home to the new knowing about my hip, and then ultimately, the knowing I got from looking back to my childhood fall and remembering the trouble that ensued. The dream came up because I have been learning some new business skills, and learning often requires first unlearning what we think we know so that we can move on to know better. In my dream, I needed to let go of an attachment to a knowing that had been with me seemingly forever, and that actually stretched back to that childhood accident. It was a complicated knowing about the potential fallout from taking certain risks. I'm giving you clues left, right, and centre here. Why did my dreaming mind picture the attachment to a certain knowing as a hair attached deep in my nose? Because I'm a writer, my dreams love wordplay, and nose, N-O-S-E, sounds like nose, K-N-O-W-S. In my childhood, people where I grew up would often say, "I knows," rather than "I know." It was part of the local vernacular. They would also tap the side of their nose to indicate what they knows, or point to their eye, then their nose, to signify "I knows." In my dream, it hurt when the hair was pulled out because it was attached to the inside of my nose. The hair symbolized an attachment to knowledge I gained during my childhood, a knowing I have now released to leave space for new and wiser knowing. Letting go of any attachment is painful. I'm glad it's done, and I'm very grateful to my dream for offering me the insight and for synchronicity for stepping in when I was being a bit slow interpreting. Growing and flowing in life is very much about unlearning what we think we know and discovering wiser knowing, and our dreams, as well as the occasional synchronicity, are there to help us do this, which Which all leads me to the final segment of the show. Back to a bit of science here. We go from science, synchronicity, mystery, dreams, back into science. And the question here is, okay, so we've learned at the beginning of this episode that all dreams are meaningful. Some are potentially more meaningful than others. And we've had a look at how to explore a dream deeply, particularly my one there with the example of synchronicity coming into the picture. But my next question is, do you have enough dreams? You know, okay, so dreams are meaningful, but do you have a good platter of them to pick from? Are there times in your life when you don't remember many dreams? Or are there other times when you do remember dreams, but you just have the feeling, oh, maybe I could have better quality dreams, or am I really having enough dreams? Does everyone dream every night? This is from a blog I wrote in March 2018, not for janetheresa.com, but for my other website, The Dream Academy. So there are a growing number of blogs on The Dream Academy, which you can read at dream-academy-online.com. Everyone dreams whether or not they remember dreaming, but perhaps the question should really be, are you dreaming enough? Yes, it does sound a little bit like, are you getting enough sleep? And that's part of the issue, but let's explore. Why do we need to dream? What happens if we don't pack sufficient dreaming time into our sleep? And are there circumstances that can disturb or stop our dreams from time to time? Dreams can occur at any time during sleep, but they are at their most vivid during REM, rapid eye movement sleep. During REM, you are protected from acting out those vivid dreams by sleep paralysis, a process that blocks your voluntary muscles from moving more than a twitch or two. Your eyes are not subject to sleep paralysis, and their fast movement is easily seen below your closed eyelids during this phase of sleep. It's also during REM sleep that your brain is at its most active compared to the rest of its sleeping time, sometimes more active than while you are awake, which may seem strange given that your body is largely inactivated by sleep paralysis. Your brain is at its most lively while your body is slumped in total relaxed abandon. This is why REM sleep is also known as paradoxical sleep. The science for humans is that under normal conditions you fall asleep and traverse through four stages of sleep before you arrive at the fifth stage, REM, after about 90 minutes. That's an hour and a half. The four stages of sleep are collectively referred to as NREM, or non-REM sleep. While some dreams may occur during non-REM, they're usually less vivid. The main energy of non-REM sleep being directed to deep, physically healing sleep and consolidation of memory and motor skills. During an 8-hour sleep, you'll have about 5 REM periods, 5 periods of vivid dreaming. The sleep cycle through non-REM to REM gets shorter as your sleep progresses, and the REM period gets longer, so the last couple of hours of your sleep are rich in REM dreaming. In his book Why We Sleep, Matthew Walker puts this in context when he says, "You might imagine that if you have a 6-hour sleep instead of 8, you would lose 25% of your REM dreaming time, but in fact, you lose 60 to 90%. So if you're burning the candle at both ends and trying to get by on 6 hours sleep, you're losing out on 60 to 90% of the dreaming time you would have if you slept the 8 hours that has been shown to be the natural amount of sleep people need. Now, you might think, well, that's a relief, as I have too many bad or frustrating dreams and I'm very happy to be spared more by hopping out of bed after just 6 hours. Consider that one of the reasons you may be experiencing bad or frustrating dreams may be that they reflect your struggles with not getting sufficient sleep to allow your dreams to do their natural processing of your daily experiences and help you awaken to solutions to challenges you're facing. Remember too that bad and scary dreams are pure gold if you can recall them and work with them to understand yourself and your life more deeply. Whether or not you remember your dreams, REM dreaming is vital to your health and well-being on all levels, physically, physiologically, mentally, and emotionally. And you could also add to that spiritually. This has been shown through experiment and observation in sleep labs, as well as through experiments with animals. Deprived of our REM sleep and dreams, we would become very sick and then die. We need to dream to stay alive, to be healthy. We need to dream to process our conscious and unconscious experiences of the last 1 to 2 days, to update our mindset, comparing those recent experiences with our past experiences and projecting our expectations into the future. We dream to lay down memories, update beliefs, process our emotions, build and practice using our unique mindset to prepare for the future, and find solutions to problems. Sometimes we do this remarkably well. Sometimes in our dreams we endorse or create memories and beliefs that limit our growth, block our potential, fail to come up with solutions, but despite this, the dreaming process itself ticks the healthy checkboxes. The bonuses accrue when you remember your dreams and work with them to understand yourself more deeply, to resolve issues, and use dream alchemy techniques to reprogram limiting beliefs. But first, you need to have sufficient dreaming time. Maybe all that was the good news. Maybe all you need to do to make sure you have sufficient healthy REM sleep and dreams is to get 8 hours sleep every night. Alcohol and some drugs suppress REM sleep. If you drink a lot of alcohol, you'll have REM-less, dreamless sleep until the alcohol blood level drops. If you stay asleep long enough, you may experience REM rebound, which is where your sleeping brain tries to fit in all the missed REM sleep at the end of the sleeping period. In REM rebound, your dreams will be wildly vivid, not only because they're overdue, but also, perhaps, because they're processing the overindulgence and toxic onslaught. Alcoholics, when drinking every day, risk having very little REM sleep at all. But the need for REM sleep and dreaming is so intense that the brain begins to dream while the person is awake, resulting in hallucinations, delusions, and psychosis, the delirium tremens, the DTs. It's not only alcohol and other hard drugs that can deprive you of REM sleep and dreams. So can caffeine. So can anxiety and stress in general. So can any common disorder that interrupts solid sleep, such as sleep apnea and insomnia. And people with autism have been shown to have a 30 to 50% reduction in REM sleep, though the reasons for this are not understood. So, does everyone dream every night? Yes, unless you're a very heavy alcohol or drug user, in which case you may dream awake in the form of hallucinations or psychosis. But are you getting enough sleep? You may now be able to answer that question. What first step could you take to get your full dose of healthy, dreaming sleep every night? I hope you enjoyed all of that. I have just been recovering from a cold and my voice is not as clear as it usually is, but I hope it didn't get in the way of a good story and some good inspiration. If you are a little stuck as to how to interpret your own dreams, if you've not been following my work and my show and reading my books for long enough to have the tips at hand to yourself, remember there are three main ways that you can approach this. One is to buy my latest book, which is the Dream Handbook, which is published by Hachette in Australia and by Little Brown Piatkis in the UK. Another is to go to my Dream Academy website, which is dream-academy-online.com, and do some of my courses, learn how to interpret your own dreams, or even work your way all the way through to become a professional dream therapist. Or you can book a dream consultation with me by phone or Skype, which you can find all about at janetheresa.com, where you can book a session with me and we can get deep into one of your dreams and do the magic. So that's the website addresses, janetheresa.com and dream-academy-online.com. Also, if you haven't seen the new videos at the Dream Academy, do go and have a look, please. They are different. They have new information in them, and, well, I made them for you, so please go along and have a look. Our next episode, episode 205, will be out on the 22nd of June 2018, if you're listening in real time. You can listen to all episodes of The Dream Show, all 204 of them, at janetheresa.com. You'll find them easily, and you can always listen to the last 10 on iTunes. And remember that some of our shows feature having a guest on, having a dream interpreted. So if you'd like to be a guest on The Dream Show, having a dream interpreted, go to janetheresa.com, go to the menu, and you'll find out quite easily under podcasts how to do that. Have a wonderful month. I know I'm speaking to some of you between now and then through various sessions and programs you're doing, but otherwise I'll speak to the rest of you on the 22nd of June. Have a fabulous month. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.